America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, we're halfway home on a Tuesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Joins us as well. Any big plans for after the program today, gents? What does a day in the life of Paul Reindel when he leaves here look like?
Well, I got the house to myself.
Ooh,
which is nice.
You know what that means.
My wife, she works I don't
have
hybrid.
I don't have the clips because I would play funny clips.
Stroganoff.
There you go.
Yeah, Megan works in the office Tuesdays and Wednesdays. She works from home Monday, Thursday, Friday. So okay. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, honestly, that's when I get a lot of stuff done around the house because I just have the whole place to myself. It's easier for me to start a project, clean, do whatever I need to do. I'll, you know, I got no distractions.
I don't like to laze around the house when my wife is home. I like to laze around the house when she's not home. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If I'm lazing and she's in the next room, I feel like a load.
And it's not, it's weird because it's not like when she is there and just sitting at the desk working, it's not like that stops me from doing anything else. But
well,
it's,
maybe one thing, but yeah. Yeah,
maybe that. But it's a lot of, hey, did you see this? Hey, what do you, you know, do you guys, how was the show? It's just talking, you know. Yeah. So
chit chat.
I've got some errands to run and I'm just going to go home and try, maybe I need to start a new show, I think.
Disclaimer on Ice Apple TV. Watch it.
Tuesdays and Wednesdays are when I'll watch a lot of movies or shows that I know Megan has zero interest in watching. Like
disclaimer.
She already doesn't want to. I want to watch The Penguin. I have heard amazing things about
really
it.
Really good.
I haven't started it yet, and she has zero interest in it.
All right, start The Penguin then. You guys could watch Disclaimer together. It's really good.
Apple TV?
Yeah, Apple TV.
I haven't seen anything on Apple TV that has like that I've disliked.
Yeah.
They're crushing it.
Yeah, they got good stuff. Ben?
So this is actually a weird day for me. Full disclosure, I have worked most election nights at Channel 10 since I started working there. I rarely end up on the air. You know, they've got national coverage, especially on a presidential election. So it's basically like cut-ins. We'll have a couple of newscasts. But generally, they've got so many races to cover, both local and state and national, with different reporters, that they need to get to all of those. And there's just no time for sports, which there isn't really any sports today. It's the NFL trade deadline. We don't have a team. And it's the college football playoff rankings are going to be released today.
NHL highlights.
I'm guessing San Diego State is not going to be in the top 12.
That's just
a prediction. So
you should be off today.
I asked for it off, and my boss would not let me have it off, thinking they needed all the other people to, like, do the election stuff, and I just needed, I'm just like a fail safe. I'm just there.
In case someone drops dead.
Pretty much. You know, I'm a victim of my own competence, but if anyone needed to step in on the air, I can do it. They trust me. So
you're not
I'm
even
there,
like not doing sports, so, like all hands on deck. Hey, we need help with like political
not really.
Coverage.
I will really just be sitting there eating the election night pizza that they bring into the newsroom, Ooh. Feeling like I'm not really contributing in any way. I'll try to probably, work on some sort of like long-term project, like updating our graphics, like make sure all the logos for the teams are like up to date for 2024. Something really dumb. And
would you like it if I gave you some work to do? For
you
our
could.
Show?
If you want to give me some work, I was planning on getting ahead on Take on Woods categories tonight.
Good idea.
You know, trying to work on some of those. But if you've got something you need, Paulie, I can do that later.
What's
today.
You write a new comedy bit?
This guy's over here. Hey, I'm going to be at Channel 10 working on all our new graphics and everything. I'm like, hey, buddy, we use graphics on this show.
I know. It's definitely a weird day for me.
It's weird. They want you there, but you're not really going to be doing anything.
Yeah.
But we just want to make sure you're there. Is your boss Hannah Nancaro Woods? Because that's how it feels like.
See, you have this job, though. Like, during the pandemic, you worked from home. Can you not buy a green screen?
In case they need you.
Be on call at home, even?
I could, but if for what they would need, that really wouldn't work.
You need to be in the studio.
I would need to be in the studio, so it's fine. I'll go down there, and there's always it's actually fascinating to see the inner workings of a television station on a big night like Election Day, and everyone bustling. You know, the graphics they put together, like, so cool. We've got the touch screen, like you can go between the different congressional races
and push
the buttons to see the results coming in. It's pretty awesome, actually.
Do a little TikTok or something. I know you don't do TikTok, or do a little Instagram video.
A little behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's not a bad call.
BTS, that's the stuff that people crave. And if you literally just walked through the newsroom
I
on Election Night.
I think that is
night,
a great idea and show you what the behind the scenes of a real TV newsroom looks like on a big Election night, and everyone bustling and running around, and go to the control room where the engineers are taking in the different live shots from, you know, City Hall and different campaign headquarters
like
and stuff.
When you work on like local Channel 10, is that going to be, is it like 50-50 between going back and forth between local races and the national stuff?
On a night like tonight, it'll be more ABC News with the national stuff. And then every hour, like three times an hour, they'll cut in with some updates for the local races. We'll have a full, like, I think 8 to 8:30 is like a full local half hour where they go just focus on those local races before going back to the national for the rest of the night. And then 11, we have our regular 11 o'clock news where technically I could end up at the end of the 11 o'clock news. Hey, we still have 45 seconds, you know, go, Ben, fill in, you know, the sports at the end of the night just to kind of make the time work out. That's really why I'm there.
I'm just looking, like I said, I'm going to start a show or a movie or something because, quite frankly, the way things have gone the last couple times around, it doesn't seem like you're going to even know anything today.
Yeah.
It's going to all drag out. And I'm like, you know what? I'm so tuned out. I'm like, just tell me when it's over. Tell me what happened.
Wake me up when it's over. The reason I ask is I have to leave right after the show today because I have to go to my 3-year-old. He's almost 4. He'll be 4 tomorrow. Tomorrow's his birthday. To his class. I was voluntold.
Oh, you were not teared.
Voluntold.
Voluntold.
By my wife. My wife signed me up. And I said, what am I doing Tuesday? She said, oh, you're going to go do a...
Commandeered, not volunteered.
I was voluntold. She said, you're going to be going to Taylor's class on Tuesday. I said, oh, for what? It's a presentation. I said, what's the presentation on? She said, it's...
Whatever you decide. You're making the presentation.
No, it's about your job. So I'm going to go in and talk...
Well, you are making the presentation.
Yeah. I'm going to go in and talk to 3- and 4-year-olds about radio. You know, their favorite thing.
Really?
Radio. Yep.
So there's this thing.
Terrestrial.
By the time you're grown ups, probably won't exist.
It'll be obsolete entirely if it's not in your home already.
But we're also on YouTube, and that probably will exist. So you can tell them about YouTube.
I will. I'll show them a YouTube video.
Yeah.
And then I'm going
to. Tell them about the Odyssey app.
I will. The rewind feature.
Yeah.
And just the power of local radio, which is, you know, and we'll talk about, advertising and things
like that. West Coast Men's Health, you know.
Juicy Kinetics.
Things that 3- and 4-year-olds really need to know about.
Yeah, so that's today. No, it's volunteering at St. Blowfish. No, it's...
See if you can get one of them to sign up for SDFatLoss.com.
Okay, I will. Maybe one of their parents.
They lost 40 pounds in 60 days. They might be gone.
That's true. None of them actually weigh 40 pounds. So I have to... I'm going in today to do in-class presentation. Taylor's dad, radio guy. And talk
about...
You
have any props? Are you going to bring anything in to entertain them?
I just had Paulie send me a video of Taylor here. Now, we'll all huddle around my very small phone, and I'll play them the video of Taylor.
The teacher, I'm sure, can,
Taylor, you want to come over here and take my job? You want to press some buttons?
Oh, did that before.
Go over there to Uncle Paulie. Got the soundboard going.
This was from last year.
Last summer.
Here he comes.
Never know what's going to come up when one of the Woods kids takes over Paul's soundboard here.
I'm not a cat.
Oh! Oh, we're into the boings and kind of sounds
sweet
now.
Baby. Look at his face. Oh, hey! So, yeah.
Play that one again.
That's Bo laughing at his brother.
Lots.
Can I play that in class?
I'm sure Bo said worse.
Sure.
Well, Taylor.
Nothing wrong with saying nuts. It just depends on what you're referring to.
It's true. So I got to do that today. I'm nervous. I always get nervous for these. But Hannah said, yeah, I'm usually in and out in like 30 minutes. I go, 30 minutes? You're doing real estate presentations, these kids, for 30 minutes? Let's talk, kids, about your fiscal responsibility and the equity. And she's
interest rates are our next topic.
Right. And she goes, I do like a thing, and then I'm there for like 30 minutes. I go, I'm going to be there for 10 minutes.
Explain the whole commission thing to them.
I'm going
to
get in and out.
How it all works.
Zach says, have them use the voice feature on the Odyssey app. That's not a bad idea. Come in and listen to it in the morning.
Get a little content out of that.
Holy cow, dude. So, yeah, I got to do that today and do the whole presentation. I brought them some Ben and Wood stickers that they can have and, you know, just kind of tell them the way of in the powers of local radio.
Well, speaking of career day, I learned what Sean Lewis of the Aztecs might be doing had he not gone into football coaching. Because yesterday, at his weekly San Diego State news conference, as you can expect, he was asked questions about the field conditions at Snapdragon Stadium, the ones that forced the Wave to move their final home game. Sandy, sliding, bad turf. The Aztecs clearly experienced it against Washington State a couple of weeks ago. And Sean Lewis, you know, being a good soldier already for San Diego State, said, "Hey, we're going to be ready, and I trust our field crew. They're going to do an elite job getting that field ready. I've been presented with the plan about grow lights and, you know, hybrid turfs and watering and everything that they're going to do. But hey, I'm not going to tell them their job. They're not going to tell me what plays to call on third down. We're just going to trust that it gets it done." And then he added, he said, "Even though my major in college was agricultural journalism, I still don't know how to grow grass." And I thought, wait, you majored in agricultural journalism. So, you know, journalism, which is a common major, especially for, you know, something that we do. Not that either one of us majored in journalism. We didn't, but
obviously
people do when they go on to television and radio and newspapers. But he was specifically covering like farm issues in journalism, which I imagine probably is something like Midwestern newspapers probably have, like a farm report section.
Sure. Yeah. Well,
I was just trying to picture what kind of coverage you do in agricultural journalism.
It's pretty simple. I mean, you know, when you were a kid, you were watching Chick Hearn, you know, calling Lakers games, and there was something that was got in you then, and you thought, I want to do that. Sean Lewis, as he was growing up, you see those guys on the agricultural beat, and you think to yourself, that could be me one day. I could be out there with a pen and a pad, and I'm talking, so how's the crop going to be? Good. Well, I'm going to put your feet to the fire here. What happened last year?
Do you get in a scrum with the reporters around the farmer?
Hey, man, things
are
good.
Every single day.
We need a little rain, as you guys know, but I mean, the agricultural beat is a hot beat, and you see it, and you see all the fringe benefits you get, you know? Because think about, like, D-Lynn, right? Think about Dennis Lynn and Kevin Acey. Those guys are flying, they're collecting miles, they're staying in nice hotels, eating good meals. You see that agricultural beat when you're a kid, and you're like, I got to be a part of this. The hat with the press pass in it on the side.
The 4-H World Series.
4-H World Series. You're like, hell yeah.
Spring training, you like show up when they're like sowing the fields in the spring, and you go out and cover like,
it.
What props are you planting in these fields this year? The public wants
How's
to know.
How's the yield going to be?
Mr. McDonald, the corn crops.
McDonald.
Weren't
the
great.
Farm, Mr. McDonald.
Old corn McDonald. Corn didn't grow like you hoped it would last year. How do you hope to prevent that from happening again this year?
Old McDonald, Paulie pulls up. Mr. McDonald. Old McDonald had a farm. On that beat was Sean Lewis.
The question in our chat said, Ben watched Chick Hearn, Sean Lewis watched Chick In.
Who ruined that? Who said that?
That was the question is moot.
Ban them from the chat. Yeah. Agricultural journalism. The new John Deere is out. And let me tell you guys, this thing kicks major, major ass. That's fantastic.
That is amazing. Right, I was actually amazed that that is a major that you can study in college, agricultural journalism.
Now, I went to Texas Tech, had a lot of agricultural, there was a lot of agricultural majors and stuff, but I think it was more of like wanting to grow things, but writing about those that grow things is a little bit different. Or Satan's Blowfish says he actually listens to some agricultural radio on Sirius. They have that.
So I listen to some rural radio station on Sirius. What does that sound like?
Now I have to hear it. Can we find some and play it tomorrow?
Blowfish, if you're in the chat, let us know what channel that is on Sirius XM. I would actually tune into that on my drive.
Got a huge story for you about a farmer in Iowa who plowed over his corn build
a baseball field.
Biggest story in the history of agricultural
journalist in America would be flocking to Iowa for that one.
Yeah, just let us know what the station is, and I would like to hear that. I'd like to play some on the air. Absolutely riveting. I'm going to actually check it at the break.
There's a podcast somewhere dip our ears into to see what it sounds like.
Now, I'll just say it. Now, did he play football in college?
Yes.
Okay.
He did.
All right.
He was a tight end, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. Scholarship tight end.
Where?
Wisconsin, I think. Okay. Was it? That's where he grew up, at least.
Feels like a.
Saying he picked like an easier major?
Yeah, you just want to make sure you make your grades, I think.
Tight end at Wisconsin.
Okay.
Where he studied agricultural.
Journalism. Fascinating. I can write about the field, but I just can't. I don't know how to grow it.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to grow it, but he knows how to cover people who do grow things.
That is riveting stuff. Riveting stuff. It's great.
Yeah, like I said, learn something fascinating about the head coach.
Here on Rural Radio 147, a Sirius XM. Sean Haney, your host here on this Monday edition of the show. Thanks so much, everybody, for making Real Ag Radio and Rural Radio 147 a big part of your workday. Also, of course, a big shout out to everybody listening out there on the Real Ag Radio podcast. You can find the Real Ag feedback line by calling 855-77.
Awesome. Thanks, Sean.
Adam.
We haven't really got into winter here yet.
The guy's name he's interviewing is Peter Johnson, which is funny.
Old McDonald.
And this episode is Real Ag Radio, Corn Harvest Progress, Tillage Issues, and Forage Breeding Success.
Play it.
Yet it's sort of still fall, and that, I don't know, the sun has stability on the corn. Until very recently, standability was excellent. Other than the farmers that in the tar spot area that didn't spray for tar spot. And there's starting to be some disasters in fields now. I'm starting to see some very severe lodging if they didn't get to the field quickly enough.
And
it's kind of interesting, Sean, because
number one,
we talked last week about poor aerial application with tar spot fungicides.
Growers are very disappointed when someone who doesn't follow sports tries to listen to sports radio and it's just words you don't understand. And concepts that don't make any sense to you at all.
Tar spot fungicides in corn, you don't back into the corner because you tramp too much corn to get that little bit in the corner.
So
you just make the corner and keep going. Well, man, those corners, they are flat. Like they have just gone.
This is
unreal. It's sort of in the last week, we had top break and whatnot. And in the last week, if you didn't get them out of the field, they have just collapsed.
Oh, done. No standability.
So it really,
my goodness gracious. I didn't realize that choking corn is a real issue in the
We've
field.
We've had a lot of fun with corn this year, to be honest.
Like, the corn is doing great, and all of a sudden, you're like 3/4 of the way through, it just collapses.
Well, they taught you your fungicides and bad aerability.
That was quality stuff there from Peter Johnson.
Peter Johnson. It sounds made up. Hey, make something to have your name sound like two wieners. How about that? My name's Peter Edwards. No, I want the two wiener name. Peter Johnson's going to be what I'm going to go by. All right? The threeness.
Well, Richard Johnson.
I'd like to check in.
That was yesterday's episode. It's been live for 16 hours now.
Okay.
Guess the view total.
12.
42,000.
Somewhere in between that.
12,000.
129. Right. Okay. I was 129.
129.
Right. No, we got more, many more people live in our YouTube stream at the moment here on Men and Woods.
So good, so man.
I guess I'm not going to change my career to agricultural radio.
That is
point.
So good. It was soothing. There was something soothing there about was. It. I don't know what it,
I
what it is.
I didn't understand almost it. Any of it, but
it was soothing.
It was fascinating.
Thank you for finding that, Paulie. It's greatness.
All right, we're a little overdue for a timeout. Got a little carried away with farm radio for a second, but we'll come back. At college basketball season's underway. The Aztecs play tomorrow night.
And all right, let's talk about the Aztecs tomorrow night.
Can we?
Yes.
Sounds good.
You know I'm mad already.
All right, that's coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, first test of the season for the San Diego State basketball team comes tomorrow night at Viejas Arena against a team that nearly knocked them off. You remember last season at UCSD, the Aztecs played the Tritons. We're down 14 points with, I think, around 7 minutes to go and had to go on a massive run and get a Jaden Ledee put back buzzer beater to avoid what could have been a crippling upset early in the season. Now, they won it, so it didn't hurt them. They ended up going to the NCAA tournament. What seed did they get last year? 5 seed in the NCAA tournament, made it to the Sweet 16. But it might not happen had they lost that game against UCSD. But they will play the Tritons tomorrow night at Viejas Arena. Very different look squads for both teams. There's only one Aztec who played in that game last year that will be on the floor. There's a couple of guys who didn't get into the game. Miles Byrd didn't actually get into that game. I think it was Miles Heide is the only Aztec that was actually on the floor in the game. And there's only two Tritons that were in the game last year. They had some transfers who left for greener NIL pastures. But according to my brother, who went to practice, you know, he's an alum, was on the basketball team. They have a good team. They're Division I. Fully no restrictions for the first time this year. They're eligible for the NCAA tournament if they win the Big West tournament.
Man.
So, yeah, you don't want to be messing around in this first game of the season if you're San Diego State tomorrow night against UCSD, which will be looking for payback after letting one get away last season.
Banner raising night tomorrow?
Right. Sweet 16 banner.
How do we feel about that?
We feel good about that.
The banner.
Yes.
I think in college basketball, it's different. Like,
totally different.
There better not be a wild card qualifier advanced to the NLDS banner.
There is.
There'll be a wild card series winner banner of some sort, probably.
Yeah. It feels different in baseball. I don't want to see that. But I think making it to the Sweet 16,
that's really worthy
of a banner, right?
Yeah.
Think about it this way. In the NCAA, you make it to the Sweet 16. You were a top 16 team out of like 360 teams.
Yes.
Right.
You know, 30 Major League Baseball teams. So being in the top 8 out of 30 teams is not nearly as impressive as being in the top 16 out of 360 teams.
We were
at the
top
of the year.
Six.
Conversely,
right?
though, even if they just made it to the tournament, some schools say that is worthy of a banner.
Well, I think
to the tournament. We were then top 68 out of 360.
I think for some schools, that's very, very worthwhile.
Well, in that case, you raise your conference banner. You either won your conference tournament to get in, or maybe you won your conference regular season title to get in.
That's true.
Now, if you finish third, got an at-large bid, I don't know that you put up a banner just that you went one and done and like lost in the first round of the tournament. I don't know. Guess that each program gets to decide. But a Sweet 16 banner is absolutely...
Yeah, you have to.
Major cool.
It'll be Major cool.
Major cool. Third time the Aztecs will have one. They'll have two Sweet 16s and a national championship game banner at Viejas Arena after tonight.
Now, I saw the update yesterday from Aztec Tracker. It said, TV update, San Diego State men's basketball debut against UC San Diego on Wednesday will air on Mountain West Network. I don't have that, I don't think.
It's a streamer. You have, if you have the internet, you have the Mountain West Network.
So I got to watch this game on my phone.
Probably, yes. It's not uncommon for early season college basketball games. Unless you're like Duke or Kansas, every team plays games that aren't picked up nationally on television in college basketball.
You never got a Roku, right? Like I told you to do. Mm-mm. Do you have a smart TV that has apps on it?
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to
download their Mountain West app quickly. Yeah. I think it's free. I don't think you have to pay or anything to watch it. Just will be there for you when you need it.
So no local...
I don't think so. You know, like Channel 4 had sometimes picked up those games. I have no idea what their current circumstances are, but I did not see any reports that they would be picking up the game this week.
Got to get the Chevron app, download the special, sign up. Man, I just want it on TV. I pay an exorbitant amount of money for my cable. Should be on there.
Probably the second game against Occidental next Tuesday will also be the same way, so at least you'll have a leg up if you've already downloaded that. That's a Division III opponent, though, so not really as intriguing of a game as this one against UCSD.
I wonder what the line is on this one.
Ooh, good question.
Early basketball stuff.
Why don't you look it up? I will give you my guess. I'm going to say San Diego State by 14.5. That's just my initial guess. Don't know how much respect that UCSD is getting yet nationally from odds makers, but they definitely have a decent team and a decent program that they are building there in La Jolla. By the way, San Diego State did appear in the first four teams out of the new bracketology. They hadn't even been in Lunardi's offseason bracketology at all.
I have no line.
No line for the game?
Yeah. Right. Not yet.
Well, I just said it. 14.5.
All right.
What do you like?
God. I'd stay away.
All right.
I'd stay away.
That means I set a good line.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
I like that.
Yep.
All right, so that's tomorrow night. We can talk about it more later this week, see how the Aztecs do. And good luck to the Tritons as well in their first full-fledged season as a D1 team. All right, we talked a little bit about Blake Snell and the possibility that he returns to the Padres this offseason. I don't think it's out of the question.
I don't either.
How would the Padres make that work? I want to talk about that a little bit more when we come back with more Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Woods, you reminded me in the break of a guy that did not get his contract option picked up that I wanted to bring up earlier that might be of interest to the San Diego Padres this offseason. In fact, they've already employed his brother at one point.
They did.
Could the Padres be interested in Travis d'Arnaud, who is now on the open market after the Braves declined, $8 million option?
It was like $8 million.
Interesting. I'm going to look into the numbers, and we'll talk a little Travis d'Arnaud and Blake Snell right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, so, Travis d'Arnaud, who has been the Braves, pretty much regular catcher for the past three or four seasons, was not brought back at just $8 million for next year. Why is that the case? I mean, and he's going to be 36 in February, so going into age 36 season. His numbers aren't through the roof good. He's a 248 career hitter, hit 238 last season, 15 home runs, 48 runs batted in, 1.1 war. Certainly, though, at a position that is so hard to find competent players, behind the plate. I would think that's something that it would be appealing to a number of teams.
He saved their ass last year. Sean Murphy is the guy they went out and got from Oakland, and he's not been good. He was injured. He had an oblique strain. And so when he went down, Darnell had to step in immediately and played really well and helped. He's a team leader. He's much beloved in Atlanta. But the other problem for Atlanta is they got some guys that are going up. In fact, Sean Murphy's one of those. His salary's jumping from 9 to 15. Spencer Strider, they're going to get him at a cool $4 million a year, which is why young, controllable pitching is always hot for a team. And then Chris Sale is going from 16 to 22. So they're having some guys get some bumps. He was kind of a casualty of that. And again, they could still bring him back, Benny. They could still sign him in the free agent market, but not picking up that $8 million option was a little bit curious, I thought, for a guy that is again, much beloved, had a good season for you, and really saved you when Sean Murphy went down. But they're expecting more from Sean Murphy at, what did I just say, $15 million a year.
Yeah, Darno was an all-star in 2022, Silver Slugger in 2020. But let me ask you this. Would you pay Kyle Higashioka $8 million?
Because
Kyle Higashioka had a better season than Travis Darno did last year.
No,
higher WAR, more home runs, better average. Kyle Higashioka had a better season than Travis Darno.
Higgy's my starting catcher, I would.
Would you pay him $8 million next year?
I would.
I would think that that's going to be somewhere in the range of what he should be asking for this offseason.
I think so, too.
And the Padres may have to pay it. I mean, they need a catcher. I don't think you can go into the year with just Luis Campusano and Brett Sullivan as your catching core. Ethan Salas is getting closer, but not going to be ready, I would expect, at the start of spring training to be your everyday catcher.
Yeah,
so,
you're basically in stopgap mode right now, you know, waiting for him for the next couple of years.
But if you're Higgy, do you want to sign a one-year deal? Or
no,
are you looking
I want to sign a couple
deal?
Of years, yeah.
But if you're the Padres, do you want to lock up a multi-year catcher when you know that spot is reserved for Ethan Salas? Probably sooner rather than later. I mean, I would think at least by opening day 2026, Ethan Salas is kind of being targeted to be the Padres catcher. So if you sign Higgy to a 2 or 3 year deal, he's expecting the last 2 years to go back to a backup role.
Which is fine at 37 years old. I think even 37-year-old catchers know that that's their role. Also, you know, you get to help shepherd along this guy's career, and you know you're here, you're in San Diego, and you're playing a lot. And again, Ethan Salas isn't going to come in and shoulder 160 games right away. That's just not something they're going to do.
I like the idea of like a 3 year deal for Higgy, maybe a little more front loaded, and then you know a little lesser as you know he's going to be more of a backup to Ethan Salas, but have that veteran presence there. Cool. You know, calm, collected character who's going to help Ethan Salas, you know, in those first couple of awkward years when he's trying to, you know, be a major league catcher.
And, well, I mean, look, I love Higgy, but you could also just go sign Travis Darno. If you want to,
that.
You know, like if he's out there now.
I don't know who's going to have a better season next year, Darno or Higashioka.
I don't know.
I don't either.
No idea, but I like them both, actually. They're both pretty solid and serviceable catchers. So in a really tough position to find, and especially getting offensive production out of a couple of not – it's not going to break the bank for either of those guys.
Meanwhile, I want to continue our discussion about a possible reunion with Blake Snell and what that could even look like, what the Padres would need to do, Woods, to make that feasible. Blake Snell, and I saw the, you know, the Foul Territory podcast guys were talking about it yesterday. Blake Snell, you know, going to break the bank, huge, looking for, you know, 4 or 5 years, $30+ million a year. What's different about this offseason compared to last offseason for Blake Snell?
He didn't win a Cy Young.
He didn't have as good of a year. He's a year older than he was last year. Why is Blake Snell now going to get the big deal that he didn't get last year? What was holding him up from getting the big deal last offseason? I don't totally understand the market for Blake Snell and what teams are seeing or not seeing about Blake Snell. I mean, we're big Blake Snell fans. I would love to have him back in San Diego. I don't understand why he didn't get a big deal last year, why he had to get a one-year option-type deal with the San Francisco Giants. He is clearly one of the best pitchers in baseball. Yes, he's not a guy who's going to pitch into the eighth inning of every single game.
Who
but
is?
There aren't many pitchers like that nowadays. And by the way, he did throw a no-hitter, went all 9 innings this season. So he can,
you guys watch the playoffs,
he can
this
do
year?
It.
Anybody watch the playoffs this year?
And if you're a team that has... perfect, Woods. If you're a team that has playoff aspirations...
Correct.
And you're looking for...
A dominant pitcher
a
in
dominant
the postseason.
Five innings from a starting pitcher in the playoffs.
Who's better?
You're not going to find anyone better than Blake Snell. He's done it before in the postseason.
He'll do
He's
it
done
again.
It in the World Series.
Yep.
No one's better for five plus innings than Blake Snell. No one out there. And if you're trying to win a World Series, Blake Snell is a great guy to have on your team. Where's the market? Why isn't the market been there for Blake Snell?
Don't know. I really don't. It's you know, I was just reading something. The most innings he's ever thrown is like 130 innings, so he's not going to give you the
he had 180 in his Cy Young year for the Padres.
What did I see? Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He was their workhorse that year.
Yeah
he threw.
I mean, yeah, it's not,
just twice. Just twice in his 9-year
over
career.
130.
Yeah, over 130, yeah. Just two times. And so, yeah, I think again when he's healthy.
Glasnow is more brittle and throws less innings than Blake Snell.
30?
Makes a ton.
Yeah, he makes a ton.
I don't understand what the hesitancy is about Blake Snell.
Me neither.
The dugout dirt, Blake's inconsistency.
Didn't win
cost
the Cy Young
him.
This year, but definitely showed Cy Young.
Was the most
stuff.
Dominant pitcher again in the second half of the season,
yeah.
As he almost always is. Inconsistency. So Dylan Cease is inconsistent as well.
Very much.
He's got a ton of value. Dylan Cease gives you 200 innings, 200 strikeouts. I mean, Dylan Cease has a great amount of value. But Blake Snell also has his own great value. If you're telling me which pitcher would you rather have starting for you in a playoff game tomorrow,
it's Blake Snell.
I mean, yeah. No offense to Dylan Cease, but we've seen a couple of, you know, three Dylan Cease starts in the playoffs now. I like Blake Snell in the playoffs. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, he's filthy. There's no audio, Paulie, in the chat. It's weird. I really don't know either, Benny. I don't know. I just know that he, again, another one of those guys. Like, it's kind of like Jerkson Pro. He was really at his best when he was here and won a Cy Young for this team. And I have no idea why.
Well, Blake's been good everywhere, though.
He was good in Tampa Bay. He was good for the Giants when he was healthy.
Are you willing to clear someone else's salary that you like to allocate that money toward Blake Snell, whether it's Luis Arraez, Dylan Cease, and make a trade that you don't necessarily want to make to try to bring back Blake Snell?
So this is an interesting comment. Commendatory in the chat says, you don't understand why Snell didn't get paid last year. You should have talked about it last year like you understood. No, like I don't understand what that means. We were surprised that it took, I know I was surprised that it took that long for Blake. We all kind of assumed, oh, the Mariners will be in on him. He's going to want to go pitch for his hometown team.
I mean, I kind of assume Scott Boras overplayed his hand.
Of course, because he always does.
You know, agenting maybe was part of the problem. And, you know, they waited too long and misread the market. But yeah. There should be a market there for Blake Snell.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's done this several years in a row now where he shows you the elite stuff and you may have to grind through some early season woes, but you know, like him or hate him, and like it or hate it about him, that he needs to be comfortable and he needs, you know, that sense of home and all that. That's who he is. That's how he's wired.
Yeah.
So wouldn't you feel comfortable giving him a multi-year deal? Especially as, you know, speaking only from the San Diego perspective, knowing he knows everybody here. He wants to be here, we think. And he's had success here. Like, that would be a pretty easy relationship to jump back into.
So we dug out dirt, so we scoffed at the idea of Blake Snell making that much money. How much money? I think we were all, like, fine to let him go because we knew we couldn't pay him. It was one of those things.
We knew he was worth 30 a year.
If we're paying,
and with the payroll, you know.
Yeah, we're not.
The Padres were going to have. He wasn't going to fit in it.
If you're going to trade Juan Soto, you can't keep Blake Snell. You know what I mean? Right. That was kind of, you have to kind of let him walk. So.
Yeah, it wasn't that I didn't think he was worth
or
it.
Or deserving of.
I didn't think the Padres were going to be able to fit him in for what he did.
For sure.
Deserve and what was going to get somewhere else. Now, he got $30 million, right? I mean, it was kind of deferred, and it was a one-year option deal. He got money. There's no doubt about that. It's simply, you know, considering he was a free agent, he won a Cy Young Award. It's still somewhat shocking he didn't get a guaranteed multi-year deal from a team that was interested.
This is what's funny, though. Somebody says, outside of the two Cy Young years, he's got a mid-3 to low-4 ERA. That's still really good, and guys that are worse than that still get paid. They still get paid in this game. So,
and
yeah,
he also has two Cy Young years.
Cy Young years that you can't just put those aside.
I mean, you remember, you know, the first 3 years of Blake Snell were up and down, you know, they're not perfect. And then,
I'll be honest, he frustrated the hell out of me to watch sometimes. You know, he had such good stuff. And then you could see after a while when he locked it in, I mean, that run he went on was absolutely dominant. It was just insane.
I hear you and I agree with you. And I probably pushed back a little bit on some of those frustrations. But man, isn't that every pitcher nowadays?
Yeah.
Like, doesn't every pitcher frustrate you a couple outings in a row, maybe?
Pretty much.
Michael King frustrated me early in the season.
Yeah.
God, he's got the stuff is right there. Yeah. Why can't he put it together?
Dude.
And then he was the best pitcher on our staff.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, you know who he's a perfect fit for? It's the LA Dodgers. He is a perfect fit for them because they can afford it, they can overpay him, and they can use him in the playoffs where he will be absolutely deadly. I don't think they need him per se.
I mean, that was their idea with Glasnow as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? We don't care how healthy you are in the regular season. Let's just have you healthy in the playoffs. And then he wasn't.
Yeah, like I've said many times, if you're the Dodgers and you pitch Tyler Glasnow before July, I think that's malpractice. I think you tell that guy, we'll see you in July. Be ready to go. You don't need him to win games in April, May, and June.
I don't think the Dodgers overused Tyler Glasnow this last year.
But again, you don't need to push him at all.
Yeah, but they didn't. They gave him weeks off in the middle of the season. They really didn't push him at all, and he still got hurt.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Well, they can afford that.
They could.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, somebody's going to pay him. I don't think he's taking any discount or anything to come back here, but he's another hard, it's a hard guy to market. Like, it's a hard guy to figure out what he's worth.
Mm. Again, if it goes most of the offseason again and he's not anywhere, I would think you've got a shot to bring him back at that point. All right, we've got 1 hour to go. Polly's got a Rindle report, including a story on Chicken McNuggets, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Some news you can use.
Sounds coming right up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.